It's time for You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD.
My guest today is child book author and illustrator Megan Montague Cash. Her award-winning Bow Wow books are co-written with cartoonist and illustrator Mark Newgarden. Megan is also an instructor at Brooklyn, New York's Pratt Institute. And what's also interesting is that Megan was in the original Woodstock film. We'll talk to her about all these things and more right now. Megan, welcome to You Talking to Me.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Good. Thanks. We got lots of things to talk about today. Maybe we'll start with you drawing as a child. Was that a big part of your childhood?
It was. Both my parents were artists, and it was something that just made sense. But aside from them being artists, I was very interested in doing that a lot of the time.
Yeah. And from what I understand, it was mostly animals that you drew. Did you draw a lot of animals?
Yeah, I drew people too, but animals were really what I was super passionate about.
Okay. What, like, anything in particular? Was there a certain animal maybe that you liked to draw? Or?
Oh, I did especially like rabbits, but all animals.
Okay. And storytelling as well, as a child?
Yeah, but more like telling stories in pictures.
Oh, okay.
And I also was very focused on children's books, and as a kid I thought, well, this would be a good kind of thing to do, make these books, and I never stopped liking children's books.
Now, were you like trying to make children's books somehow with your art, like when you were a kid?
A little bit. Like, yeah. Sometimes I would have a blank book that someone gave me to draw in, and there's maybe a bunch of consecutive pages where I would draw a story.
Okay, yeah.
And if I was too young to write much, I would tell an adult what the words should be, and mm-hmm. they'd write that down.
So you started that, obviously, quite early on. And right. you lived in New York City as a child?
Right, yes.
And then I want to kind of get into you moving to a commune.
That's
and
right.
your hippie childhood. Tell us something about that.
Well, there was a kind of movement of people getting away from the city and going back to the land, so to speak. And at one point, someone, a friend of my mother, I think, noticed an ad in a local paper that there was a house with no rent. People could go there and make a commune and live without paying rent. And
nice.
So my mom decided that would be a good idea, and some of her friends went along. And so that's how that happened.
If only we could find signs like that up now.
Oh, yeah, really. Well, but there's so much random. There were people who came to the place that we knew, but people we didn't actually know beforehand, so you never know how that kind of thing's going to work out.
Right. And so what was your childhood like living on a commune? Is there a lot that you remember?
Oh, sure.
From that time?
I was 6 and 7.
Okay.
There were a handful of other kids, including my brother,
mm-hmm.
and we didn't go to school for that whole time period. So almost 2 years.
There's a bonus, free rent and no school. Or was it?
Well,
you know,
it was, for those ages, I think missing school is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us already knew how to read, and I just don't think there's that much key stuff that you miss that you can't make up at that age.
Right, yeah. And you were already, I mean, there was other kids there, and so you were kind of in a, so you were in a social atmosphere.
That's right.
Like
we did have a kid community going. There was, I guess, six kids altogether, and sometimes other kids that were popping in and out. But we had a core group, and me and three other kids were the exact same age. And then my brother was younger, and another kid was older.
Are some of the kids from there people that you still talk to today? Or?
Yeah, in fact, I saw two of them yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And one of them I'm in touch with on Facebook, who I hadn't been in touch with for many, many years, so it was nice to reconnect with him. And then there's one other kid, well, not a kid anymore, but I think of him as a kid, who I, none of us know where he is.
Oh.
We're very curious.
Hmm.
And a lot of the adults are people that I'm, the people who were adults when I was a kid are people that I'm still in touch with.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, there was a lot of things about it that was nice, but it's not something I would want for myself now.
Right.
A lot of sharing. And, you know, if you have, like, too many people, for example, on a computer, that can create problems.
Sure. and it's interesting, you give slide lectures about that period?
Yeah. These friends of mine were starting to show slides at home as just a sort of evening entertainment on weekends sometimes, and one of them asked me if I could show slides. He knew that I had slides my mom had taken from the Woodstock Festival, from the commune we lived on, and so that was the first time I showed them to people, and then people kept asking me about them, and then it became more of a regular thing. So I've shown slides that my mother took, and then I've actually developed other slide lectures with drawings and stories.
All still based on that era?
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right. And at some point, when I finish the projects that I'm committed to, I do want to work on a hippie childhood book project.
Right. And now, for what you show in your slide lectures, is it are they more private or are they actual?
Are there naked people?
No. No, I just mean are your slide lectures themselves overall kind of a more private deal, or do you give public lectures for?
It's never anything that I've been promoting myself, but there's a lot of situations come up where someone's coordinating some thing at some maybe a museum or a gallery or some performance space, and they ask if I want to do something.
Okay, it just like fits in with some event type
right.
thing, yeah.
So then I do.
And are they maybe that differs a little than the more private ones that you you do, like, I mean, for friends or things like that. Are the slides on a more personal level, like of your home picture type things, or do you get into like just the era itself?
It's very personal. I mean, I might talk about the era a little bit, like very general, but mostly this is pictures of us.
Okay.
This is, you know, what we did. Then we went back to society.
Right.
This is what happened. It was difficult for some of the other, for kids to go from no school for 2 years to then into a public school system. For some of the kids, that was a real shocker.
Right, and you would have, I guess, been in school before and then stopped going to school. And then,
Right.
And you mentioned this already, and this is going to be something that's pretty interesting to listeners, is that you actually were in the Woodstock film.
That's right. We were at a different commune that we lived at for a relatively short period of time, and three communes were contacted by the organizers of the Woodstock Festival to help set things up beforehand and help run things and then help kind of clean up afterwards.
Right.
So my mom and my brother and I, with communes, other commune, you know, our commune and two other communes, were there 2 weeks early and then 2 weeks after it ended.
Mm-hmm.
There's some scenes that are at this kitchen, this geodesic dome kitchen that the hog farm set up, and my brother and mother and I are in some little bits.
Uh-huh.
My brother has a split screen with Wavy Gravy. The Wavy Gravy has a line where he says something like, breakfast in bed for 500,000 or some amount of, I forget the amount of people.
Uh-huh.
And it's right around then that my brother has a split screen with him, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. And then you guys moved to, or you moved to Brooklyn at some point.
Right, oh, much later.
Right.
Yep, to go to college.
And that was Pratt?
Yep.
That you actually went to originally. And
right.
And what did you actually study there?
I studied graphic design and illustration.
And speaking of graphic design, or design at least, I mean, you're pretty versatile in all the things that you do, but you were designing clothes for a little while. Tell us a little about
that.
When
I was a kid, yeah. I was doing, I would buy wholesale shirts in downtown Manhattan, and then I was airbrushing or painting on them in all different ways, kids' shirts, and I would sell them to kids' boutiques in the city, and it was before Cafe Press, it was before the iron-on transfers you can have from copy shops.
Right.
It was a little more labor-intensive than it is now, but that was a really fun way to make some money.
Yeah, very innovative, especially for the time. And
well,
now, like, yeah.
You know, I grew up in Woodstock, and there were a lot of hippies making shirts.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of right on trend with what I was very familiar with, although my designs weren't really, I didn't want them to look hippie-ish. They were, you know,
right,
things I was interested in.
And before we take a break, I just kind of want to get into a little bit of, and before we talk about the Bow Wow books and things, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, your design and illustration and things you've written and edited, you know, for children's magazines, and you've done things for toy companies and some retail stores and things like that. What are some of those things you've done, and maybe also a little bit about the other books that you've done? I Saw the Sea and The Sea Saw Me.
I like to be a person that has like a range of things, and I like to, if you're a designer, you can kind of control your environment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for printed materials. So if you're an illustrator who can also do design, it's not like you're handing over your artwork to someone else who's then going to, you know, use a typeface you hate or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I like being able to put together a whole package. But I've designed, like, cards for the Museum of Modern Art. I did a lot of work for kids' magazines, and
mm-hmm.
unfortunately, those magazines don't exist anymore. You know, we've had a lot of magazine deaths over the past few recent years.
Right.
So things have changed a lot in this industry.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of strange.
And logos as well, and things like that.
Oh, sure. Logos for stores, like a bunch of kids' retail stores and some restaurants. And
and I noticed some bigger names too, like Nickelodeon and things like that.
Yep.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yep. One time I designed a logo that was for a TV show that was used on air, and it was animated, and that was a cool thing to do.
Great.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back to, I want to talk a little bit about your style of art, which
okay.
I find to be really unique, and then also the Bow Wow books.
Okay, see you in a minute, Big Jakey.
Sure.
Why go anywhere else when you could stay right here for 2011? Enhance your university and campus experience by living in residence and enjoy all-inclusive costs, safety and security, 24/7 support, the convenience of a meal plan, and guaranteed scholarships for high academic achievers. University of Windsor residents, it's the right choice. Visit us online at uwindsor.ca/residents for more information.
You're listening to CJAM 99.1 FM, redefining radio in Windsor and Detroit.
If you have an interesting career or an interesting life experience that you'd like to share with others, you can contact me, Big JD, at the You Talking To Me website, youtalkingtome.ca. That's the letter U, talking the number two, me, youtalkingtome.ca.
All right, we're back. You're listening to You Talking To Me. I'm talking to Megan Montague Cash. She's an author, an illustrator, and I want to talk to you a little bit about your art style now.
Okay.
Where do you get the inspiration for the art that you create?
I did work on some books where the character looks very much like my own dog.
Mm-hmm.
Although the stories are not true to life, but things that a dog might do are connected to my dog.
Uh-huh.
So I was inspired by my dog. Sometimes inspiration is a very abstract thing, though.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't always know where it comes from.
I would have to say sometimes I find that people that are, sometimes the more creative they are, the more they're apt to say that they're not sure where it comes from.
Uh-huh. I would agree with that. Yeah, I mean, sometimes you can trace things back to something specific, and sometimes you just are taking in all sorts of things in your environment, and then they're processed in some way that you don't even understand, and they come out, as something you produced.
Exactly. I think that people with like yourself that have a very strong creative mind seem to take in a lot more sometimes than maybe an average person or somebody that's not that creative. And, you know, I guess that shows in whatever their output is. And I find you have a unique style in your art, actually, the actual, you know, characters and drawings. It's different.
I hope that's good.
It is good, yeah. I mean, it's. I don't think that it's something that you quite see every day. I mean, it's not an mainstream art. I don't think it's different. It's very creative, I guess, is what I would say. Is it done on, do you do that on computer? Do you do by hand?
When I'm working, I sketch by hand with a pencil,
mm-hmm.
and then I do a tight finished piece with a ink and brush, and that's outside of the computer, and then I scan the work in the computer, and then I color it in the computer. That's usually what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Although some of my friends have been on my case that I could do some of these things completely in the computer, and it would save me a lot of time. So it's something for me to explore. But I do like using actual materials before everything becomes digital.
Would you say your art is, or your creativity perhaps, is hereditary?
I think that's a huge part. Both of my parents, you know, they're both super talented.
I know your dad, sometime I'm really hoping to have on the show, is a glass artist.
Yeah, he works in glass, but he also paints, and he mm-hmm. makes jewelry, and he's doing really amazing light sculptures, so he's allowing a broad range of work. He's very inspiring, because I grew up with him, and also my mom always, they're always exploring new things that interest them, and that was a good thing to see.
Sure. Now, about the Bow Wow books, tell us about those books.
Well, so we have this character, Bow Wow, that looks a lot like our Australian Terrier.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been working on these books with my partner, Mark Newgarden, my mm-hmm. boyfriend. And so we did a first book called Bow Wow Bugs a Bug, and we won some awards for that. We got a lot of attention, and that was really great. And then we did some littler books that are like concept books. Each one has a idea behind it that's like color or months or numbers. And right now we're working on another book that's pretty complicated, kind of like the first one, only, well...
Complicated children's book? A complicated children's book?
Yeah. Well, it's like these books are like comic books.
Okay.
They're in panels. Mm-hmm. And the one that we're working on now is over 100 panels and really elaborate stuff going on. Bow Wow discovers an old Victorian mansion across the street, and a lot of things go on in there.
Right. Do I see a movie coming out of this one, maybe? That does sound elaborate.
First, we'll get the book together.
Yeah. Now, is this, the Bow Wow books, like, what age group are they for, and is the new book for the same age group?
Well, the Bow Wow Bugs a Bug, I think that the publishing company aged it, like, 3 to 8, but then we saw a bunch of reviews that were saying, like, you know, college kids would love this, it's any age, mm-hmm. And then the concept books are, they're basically board books for babies, although the thinking behind them is fun, and adults won't have to feel stupid reading them over and over again, because they're sort of, a lot of, some children's books kind of talk down to kids.
Right.
And I think it's really important to, not to do that, to lift kids up and let them, just to not, like, talk baby talk to them, even if they're babies.
Right.
You don't really need to. Kids are smarter than people give them credit for.
Sure.
So,
in some cases, we're sometimes smarter as a child or baby than we end up being.
Oh, absolutely.
And what about any awards or honors from the Bow Wow books?
We won a gold award from the Society of Illustrators in New York, and that was really nice. And then we won another award that... the Ohio State Book Award, Kids Book Award, which is called the Buckeye Award, and it's the only Kids Book Award where kids nominate the various books and then kids vote on the books. So there was, you know, there's relatively little adult involvement, and the fact that we won for something that kids had the power to choose was, like, totally great.
Sure.
It felt really meaningful. And, there's a blog, and we won a Weird Ass Picture Book Award for illustration.
That's a cool name.
So that was an interesting honor, but we'll take it.
Sure, you won. Where can listeners check out your books at?
Well, Amazon has everything,
mm-hmm.
So that's the easiest. I mean, bookstores... sometimes they have it, sometimes they don't. It's
sometimes something that you could order if they didn't have it in stock, I guess.
Oh, well, if people want to go ask for books at a bookstore and then they order them.
Do people even do that anymore?
Right. Yeah. You know, and I don't have a problem telling people to go to Amazon, even though I want all the independent bookstores and even Barnes & Noble to survive, because Amazon voted Bow Wow one of the 10 best kids' books for the year it came out, so they've been really supportive of our book.
Oh, very cool.
So,
yeah.
People can go to Amazon.
Great recognition, and do you have any idea when the new book might come to life?
Ed, this book's taking a long time, and then in publishing, it takes a while to get everything out into the world, so it's really not going to be out until 2013.
Oh, okay.
Which is a little ways off.
Are we going to be here after 2012?
I'm wondering. I hope so.
Well, so does everybody that wants to get the new Bow Wow book. So we all better be here.
The old Bow Wow book is still good.
Right, sure.
And the other ones are too.
That's right. So you can get the other ones now until the other one comes out in 2013.
That's right.
And what is the name of the new one?
Oh,
is it titled?
Bow Wow's Nightmare Neighbors.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Yeah, sure sounds like a movie to me. You know, I, just at first thought, it reminds me of that, I think it was called Hotel for Dogs.
Oh, I don't know that.
I think the movie was called Hotel for Dogs, and it was kids. There was a hotel, and I can't remember where it was, but it was pretty much abandoned and not in business. And they brought all the neighborhood dogs, I guess, and area dogs to live there. And they created this environment for all the dogs to have a home, I guess. It's pretty cool. You'd like it if you didn't see it, I guess.
Okay, well, I'll have to check it out. Well, this house is full of cats.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's a little different.
Yeah. Whatever it is, I like it. So, good luck to you with the, you know, wish you the best with the new book when it comes out, and
you know,
continued success with the other ones. And
thank you, JD.
You're instructing at Pratt now as well.
That's right. I teach at Pratt.
Mhm. And what do you teach?
I teach a class that's, it's called Kid Stuff, and it's designing and illustrating for children. So it's college students who are design or illustration majors, and were working on toys or package design or logo design that's related to kids' projects or posters or
cool
different kinds of things like that.
Good stuff. Well, appreciate you being on You Talking to Me, Megan, and wish you great success. And for listeners, check out search Bow Wow Books on Amazon.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Big JD.
All right. Take care. Thanks a lot.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, my guest today is obviously multi-talented, and how being multi-talented can really be great, I would say, is I would think in most cases beneficial is when you act on all your talents and not just one. If it's a gift that, to be so diversely creative, and it's a gift you have, I think you should use it to its full potential. And speaking of diverse, next week it's the many programs offered by the Windsor Essex County Health Unit. The Health Unit's Thelma Maxwell will join me here next week on You Talking to Me. I'm your host, Big JD. Thanks for listening.